Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, The Architecture of Worship. We'll also have music from soloist Erica Coring. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our first scripture lesson this morning is the Ascent Psalm 122, voicing the joyous journey to Jerusalem. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sharon, thank you. Our second lesson this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, the third chapter, beginning at the 10th verse. Again, let's listen to God's word to us. Paul writes, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as of through fire. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, for the privilege of worship, and the encouragement that you have given to us to receive it. And so we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight. For it is you and you alone we desire to please, and this through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At various junctures in the narrative of the Old Testament, we hear of leaders of the people of the children of Israel. So I'm thinking Moses, Joshua, perhaps any of the other leaders, instructing the people to build a mound of rocks at a given place and for a particular reason, as a perpetual marker that this is a place in which God has done significant act of deliverance. With that, we can think of, say, the children crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land, or at a time of renewal covenant between God and his people. The purpose of this mound of rocks is very clear, because in some day to come, someone else is going to walk past that pile of rocks and say, "Hey, what's that pile of rocks there for?" And that gives us the opportunity to tell the story of God's good graciousness, of God's mighty act of deliverance. Now, in much the same way, I think that that is the function of church buildings in any particular community. I mean, look at TAB itself. If you didn't have any other cultural or contextual way to describe this facility, you might call it just a big pile of rocks. And now as we enter into our 100th year on this corner, we can look at this and see that this pile of rocks represents a significant act of God, that God has done something in this place, that God is doing something in this place. It speaks of God's grace and mercy, of God's act of deliverance in Jesus Christ. It is a reminder that God is here, and we are his people, and are called to do his bidding. So, in order to help us think about that this morning, I'd like to talk with you about the architecture of worship. I'm not going to take you on a tour of the facility of this building. Matt Kaufman is our resident expert at doing that, talking about all the symbolism and meaning here. But I am going to take you on a little field trip. So take a walk with me, at least in your minds, and I'd like for us to start about two blocks down on Central Avenue and then turn around and start walking north again. What's the first part of TAB that you see? The bell tower, right? In some churches, it would be the steeple. Our bell tower, if you looked carefully at it, has four spires to it. One of them is very tall and ornate. The other three, less ornate and shorter. Those represent Jesus, the tall, ornate one, and Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Some people think that in 1921 we just ran out of money and couldn't quite finish that bell tower. But notice also as we approach the building that our eyes are naturally lifted up off of the ground, off of the world around us, to the God we've come to worship. You see, the architecture itself is instructing us as to what we are going to do as we come to this place. The next thing we would notice is how massive this neo-Gothic structure is. It is a mighty fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. And the name on the monument sign out front, Tabernacle, is a reminder to us that God is present here among his people, just as he was among the children of Israel as they made their sojourn through the wilderness. We've now reached the sidewalk just outside the front doors, and we notice the steps in front of us. You know, ever since we've redesigned the parking lot, some of you have gotten in the habit of entering the sanctuary through those doors, and I love that you're doing that. That's the way this church was designed. We'll see that the steps lead us up into the sanctuary, into this entrance. Our other doors might say, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go up,'" implied, "to the house of the Lord." The temple in any ancient city was always built on the Acropolis, the high point in that city. So people always looked up to it and then they walked up to it. And as we walk up these front steps, and Sharon mentioned, Psalm 122 is a psalm of ascent, a psalm of pilgrims, worshipers, going up, ascending into the presence of the Lord. Interesting, the steps leading up to the temple in Jerusalem were irregular in height and in depth in order to get worshipers to slow down, to carefully approach the presence of God, as if to say, watch your step. Think about what you're doing, the presence of whom you are walking into. We swing open these massive wooden doors, just as the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies. In some Christian traditions, the front doors of the church are painted red to remind us that we enter into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Once inside the doors, you'll notice that we enter the narthex, and we are surprised at how small, how dark, how low-ceilinged it is, and that is intentional. Architecturally, we are being instructed to bow down, to humble ourselves as we enter into God's presence. And the narthex is also aptly named because this outer portion of your ear is also called the narthex. It is the part of our bodies through which we hear the word of God. And then we enter into the sanctuary. And our eyes are naturally lifted up once again by its beauty and its majesty, not only of this space, but of the God we've come to worship. Hardly a week goes by that we don't have a visitor to Tab who wants to come in and see our sanctuary. And when they enter, they are amazed at its beauty. It happened just this week again. I remember one visitor several years ago who I could tell was inspired, and he asked if he could take pictures. And I said, of course you can. And then I asked him, so what are you thinking? And he said, I'm humbled. Friends, what a difference it would make in our experience of worship if every time we came to worship, we felt inspired and humbled, not just by being in a sacred space, but by being in the presence of a holy God. And then we find ourselves starting to look around this space. Throughout our sanctuary, we are drawn to the magnificence of stained glass windows, and each one tells a story. They tell together the stories of our faith. Collectively, they tell us of this great work of salvation that God has given us through the sacrifice of Christ. Even the room itself tells the story of our faith as it's laid out in cruciform, the nave, the chancel, and then the transepts in the form of the cross. It looks also, if you look up, like a ship that's been turned upside down. In ancient Christendom, the church was often spoken of as being like Noah's Ark, a place of refuge, of safety from the storms of life. And so we enter into this place by God's grace and invitation. It is aptly referred to as a sanctuary. We look towards this chancel area, And again, our eyes are lifted up first to the first level of the chancel where we celebrate the liturgy of the word. We celebrate the sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. This table in our tradition is called a communion table, a gathering table, not an altar. Raising our eyes just a little higher, we see this level where the word of God is preached and proclaimed. Higher still, the choir loft and the organ where the choir or musicians proclaim beautiful music in praise to God. And higher still, we get the vision of this magnificent window showing us the risen Christ looking out over his people gathered to worship. You might also notice the centrality of the word here. The communion table, the baptismal font, the pulpit, the choir all take center stage as they proclaim together the word of God, each in their own separate way. You see, the architects who designed this building were not simply addressing issues of functionality. If they were, they would have built more bathrooms, right? But instead, they were making a statement, a theological statement about the God that we worship. And we do the same as we design or craft an order of worship. And so I know you've been looking around the room. Now I'll encourage you to take your order of worship and let me walk you through why we do what we do. Given in non-pandemic times, you know that we typically offer three services of worship. We begin with a communion service in the chapel. We have contemporary worship here in the sanctuary, and then what we are now calling traditional worship. And I'm going to look at our traditional order of worship as each of these services of worship, though, is essentially the same information. It's the same material, just packaged in slightly different ways to meet different needs or preferences. But as we are told, Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom, so we also have our customs. Our service begins with the prelude, and that's not just background music over which we are intended to talk. Rather, it's a part of worship that is intended and designed to prepare us to worship. It is music that invites us, to readies us to be in God's presence, to set us apart from the fever of life, to prepare us to worship and receive the gift which God has for us here. We then welcome people to worship and give announcements as a way to inform the church family of activities, but also a time of greeting, since the church family has been apart from one another for a week. That followed by a call to worship. In some traditions, this opening prayer is a prayer of invocation. It's inviting God to come to be with us, as if to say, okay, God, we are gathered. Why don't you come and join us? Ours is not a prayer of invocation. It is a call to worship. That God is present, we've been invited to join him. That God's the first mover, God's the initiator, God's the primary one. We then are the responders. And so the call to worship invites us, God's people, into God's presence. We then sing a hymn focused on God, glorifying God. The opening hymn, in many ways, has the same purpose as does the bell tower. It directs our attention away from ourselves, away from our surroundings, lifting our eyes, our hearts, our voices, our thoughts to the God we've come to worship. Then, as Sharon led us this morning, we pray together a prayer of confession. Building on Dan Rexroth's sermon last week, in order for a sinful people to enter into the presence of a holy God, something must be done to address our brokenness. And so we offer our prayer of confession. We recite it in union, in unison together, as if to acknowledge that there is a commonness about the brokenness of the human condition. But then we also include a silent time of confession in which we individually come clean before God. Then with great joy, with great relief, We receive a word of assurance, an assurance of our pardon, a passage of Scripture assuring us of God's great forgiveness of us, depending on His grace and mercy. And in response, we proclaim together the great good news: in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And then we hardly would need an organ prompt to get us up on our feet. But hearing that assurance of our forgiveness, we stand and sing the Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And then recite one of the great confessions of our faith. This we believe together. So now, with the slate of our tarnished lives wiped clean by the forgiveness of our sins, we are free to move joyfully, freely in and through our service of worship. We sit beneath the teaching and reading of God's word to us. On those weeks when we celebrate the sacrament of baptism, or as we will this morning, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we are given God's visible signs of His invisible grace: the water, the bread, the cup. We respond to God's graciousness by singing glorious hymns and hearing beautiful anthems. We lift our voices in prayers. We give our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings. All of these are the ways we respond to God's goodness and love and give thanks to Him for what He has done for us in Jesus Christ. As the service comes to a close, we sing another hymn, a song intended perhaps to seal into our hearts some truth of what we have heard or spoken of, or perhaps it's to fire us up and send us on our way so that we can actually go out and do out there what we have heard and agreed upon in here. And then we stand to receive the benediction, God's blessings. There are many benedictions given to us in Scripture. The one I use most frequently is Aaron's benediction from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. And in that moment, serving as God's priest, I lift my hands, symbolizing God's blessings, and we bow our heads and close our eyes to receive it. In the sending and the blessing, we realize that we don't come to church. We are the church. Where Christ is, the church is. Where we go, Christ goes with us. So when our worship ends, our service begins as we leave this place to be Christ's hands and feet in the world around us. So this order of worship is how we structure our time together on a Sunday morning, but you can see how it could also be very helpful for us in our daily devotional lives, that every day we realize God is inviting us into His presence. We bow our hearts in prayer. We ask His forgiveness. We spend time in His word. We reflect on how that word can be shaping and informing us as how we should live our lives. Perhaps we utter our prayers out loud. Perhaps we offer our prayers even in song, even in our own quiet time, and that prepares us to enter into each day as God's servants. So there's one aspect of the architecture of worship that I have not mentioned because it's hardly visible, but it is essential, and that is the foundation. Not only of this building, but of this church, our mission and our ministry and all that we do. We read in 1 Corinthians, each builder must choose with care how to build on the foundation, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Recall, as we entered into worship today, we sang together, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. He is the rock on which this pile of rocks is built, and there is no other. And very shortly, as we go out from worship, we again will sing, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. And friends, of such as this is the architecture of worship, to which we say, thanks be to God. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks. You have invited us, you've instructed us, and now in humility, we bow before you in worship. Thank you for informing us through your word and through your Son of who you are and who you have called us to be. May we worship, live, and serve to your honor and glory, for it is in, through, and for the sake of Christ we pray it. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. If you would like to listen to today's message again, there are many ways to do so. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on iTunes and other apps, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. If you prefer a CD copy, call us at 317-923-5458. That's 317-923-5458. Please mention today's date. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel, and at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Are you willing to go over there?
Pastor John Gable of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
Scripture tells us repeatedly that Jesus went over there to some other place to minister, usually to a place he had no business going, but he went over there anyway. Who are the people you hesitate to associate with? Where is a place you hesitate to go? Where is your over there? At TAB, we are learning that in order to fulfill God's call to witness and service, we have to cross the literal and figurative bridges that divide our community and our world. If you'd like to find out more about what it means to go over there in Jesus' name, visit us in person or at tabpres.org.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.